Welcome to the Elevate Effect, the official podcast of Cedar Hill, Texas. I am your host, Mayor Stephen Mason. As the highest point from the Red River to the Gulf of Mexico, our thriving city is elevated in more ways than one. We will have great conversations with thought leaders and change makers, answer community questions submitted by you, and share important city happenings. Now, we are live from the Poetic Justice Studio at the Trafine Hickman Library in 3, 2, 1.
So, but we met there and we just happened to talk and see we had the same last name and just started calling each other Primo. Yeah. Hey, Primo. Right. Which is cousin in Spanish.
Right.
And so we hit it off there, you know, became friends there.
Welcome back to the Elevate Effect. Today's topic is all about public safety in our city and the importance of having compassion behind the badge. But with a twist, we're talking with not one, but two Chief Reyeses. Joining me is Police Chief Eli Reyes, who has over 30 years of experience in law enforcement, and Fire Chief Rafael Reyes, who leads our city fire and emergency services. Now, tell me, during the interview, I'm looking at the camera, you guys, you know, looking towards me, but how do I distinguish which Reyes I'm talking about?
Well, I mean, if you say good Reyes, then I'll answer. If you say bad Reyes, then he'll answer.
Okay. All right.
We try to beat each other to the punch on that one. Everywhere we go together, sir, it's always, I'm the good Reyes, that's the bad Reyes.
So, got it.
So we're always beating each other to trying to beat each other to the punch.
Got it. So we
You can say big Reyes and little Reyes. the public safety guy.
All right. So the interview is going to go out to our audience. So whenever they see you on the street, they're going to call you big Reyes.
Big Reyes.
They're going to call you little Reyes. So I just want
I'm
you to
okay
know
with that.
Huh?
I'm okay.
You're okay with that. Okay. Well, both of these leaders are dedicated to keeping our community safe, and they bring a lot of heart and experience to the table. We'll be discussing the vital role of compassion in public safety, how their teams collaborate to protect our city, and what community involvement really means when it comes to safety. Chief Eli Reyes and Rafael Reyes, thank you both for being here with us today. I have to ask the question right off the back. Do you ever have any mix-ups in town whenever they are addressing, you know, Chief Reyes?
So I know that what's come across my desk a couple of times via email is some emails that are supposed to go to Eli and probably vice versa.
Okay.
So there's been mix-ups that way.
Yeah, we do get a lot of each other's emails.
Okay.
But fortunately, we're both in, you know, executive level positions to where sometimes there's sensitive information in there, and so we're able to make sure that that doesn't get shared anywhere else. But I have received his emails, and I know he's received some of mine. So,
yeah. Okay. So, seriously, Fire Chief Reyes, you just received your title. Congratulations for being named the new Fire Chief here in Cedar Hill.
Thank you, Mayor. It's a privilege to be the Fire Chief for the city of Cedar Hill, and I have a tremendous amount of gratitude to City Manager, to yourself, to the public safety director. I mentioned my mentor, Stacy Graves from City Me. But I have a tremendous amount of gratitude and I'm humbled by the opportunity that's been presented to me.
All right. You mentioned public safety director. Do cities have those? What is that?
Well, we did, our city manager, Greg Porter, retired over the summer. And as part of that transition process, Melissa Valdez Cummings was appointed by the mayor and council as the new city manager. And one of the decisions that she made was to elevate me from the title of police chief to director of public safety. I'm still the police chief, but in addition to that, I also provide executive oversight to the fire department and emergency management services.
Oh, I really like that because Cedar Hill's growing. You know, as we are trying to field in new officers, but there's also more needs. I mean, we may need more counselors. We may need, you know, other administrators. So for you to be able to, you know, field your role over, you know, public safety, we'll be able to have that liaison, you know, between both departments and be able to have that connection directly to the city manager's office. So thank you for, you know, receiving that new title to be able to support our new city manager for that. You know, good Reyes. Let's switch the speed. That's me. please, Chief, let's start with you. You have a distinguished career in law enforcement with over 30 years of experience. How do you think the role that compassion has evolved in police work? And how does it play into your leadership here in Cedar Hill?
Yeah, I do think that, you know, over the last several decades, you know, the role of a police officer has really kind of transformed from that enforcement capacity to more of that community caretaker. And when you talk about, like, how does that transform to my leadership here in Cedar Hill? You know, it's interesting because when I first arrived here as the police chief, you know, a little over 5 years ago, just learning about the department and looking at the policies and then, you know, recognizing that the city itself has a mission and vision and values. But at that time, when I got here, the police department did not have a mission, vision, or value statements. And so I worked with the leadership team, the lieutenants and the assistant chiefs, and I said, let's work together to develop, you know, what we want our core values to be in the organization. And what we ended up with was, you know, an acronym for CHPD, Cedar Hill Police Department. But the core values, and the first one being compassion. That is the first core value, compassion. And then it is followed up with compassion and care for our community, care and concern for our community members. And so I think that says a lot about just the culture of the organization for them to want that to be their first core value is compassion.
Wow. That's great leadership, Chief. But bad chief? You're good chief again?
Good chief.
Okay, good chief. Okay. So good chief, Rafi, you are the forefront of our fire department, leading the way in emergency response. How does compassion show up in your line of work, particularly when your team is facing some high stress situations?
So as far as the fire service and response, it feels to me like when we have interactions with the community, it's probably during some difficult times for our citizens and for the community in whole. One of the things that firefighters were always known for is their technical outlook on emergency response. I think that's evolved a little bit into more of a compassion sort of field. 75% of our responses are on the emergency medical side. And when you're dealing with somebody having their worst day, compassion definitely comes into play. It's a compassionate firefighter that works for the Cedar Hill Fire Department. It's somebody that oversees the community and somebody that's involved in the community and somebody that's a custodian of the community in whole. But I think having that compassionate heart is one of our traits that we're really, really proud of. The Cedar Hill Fire Department is special when you look at Dallas County. Cedar Hill was the first fire department to start emergency medical services in Dallas County in 1964. And we consider ourselves as leaders and at the tip of the spear when it comes to emergency response altogether, but especially with emergency medical services being 75% of what we do.
Yeah. You know, we are trendsetters for a lot of things that we do here in our region. I wasn't, you know, familiar with that year of service, the year of when we started the emergency service here in Cedar Hill. So that's good that you share that, Chief. Let me ask you, you're right. Usually whenever we dial 911, you know, that's when you guys show up. But there are opportunities where I remember one year there was, I think, a young man. You might have to refresh my memory, but either his bike got stolen or had a need for a bike. Our fire team showed up and surprised him. I want to say it was right around Christmas a few years back. Do you recall that story?
I do, Mayor. I do. And that's one of the things that we truly value is being a big part of the community in whole. And in any time of need, we're going to be there. And just as this is the same way with our brothers in blue, brothers and sisters in blue, they're there with their community involvement. And it's important for us to make sure that we help not only in times of emergency medical response or fire response, but anytime there's a need in general.
Yeah. I think that's good to know that we do not only community policing, but, you know, there's also a community and a fire side as well. So, you know, there's been some stories that's been, you know, promoted in the news media. But I think it's just good time for us to be able to, you know, mention that here on this platform of some of the community things that we do here in our community. One thing that really stands out in Cedar Hill is how our police and fire departments work hand in hand. How do both of your teams collaborate to make sure we are providing the best service as possible to our community?
So, you know, there's a lot of types of calls that we have to go to where it's a mutual response, where we're both responding. You know, the most recent one I could think of is there was just recently a crash on 67 where, you know, the police department arrived first, recognized the need for emergency response. EMS got there next, and the fire department apparatus, the fire trucks themselves showed up to assist with traffic control and things like that. And so there are a lot of types of calls like that where, you know, it is a mutual response. And so when we talk about public safety, you know, it's not just police or just fire or EMS, you know, it's a collaboration of the whole. And I think that, you know, because of the size of Cedar Hill and how small we are as departments of, you know, less than 100 firefighters or less than 100 police officers, it gives us that opportunity to build those personal relationships. And because you have those personal relationships, you really recognize the need to take care of each other. And it helps with our ability to communicate and make sure that we're all on the same page when it comes to those mutual aid type responses.
He mentioned something, and he's probably being a little bit modest, but the accident that he's probably referring to is one that happened last week. And the first one on scene was a public safety director, and he's the one that initiated patient care on the person involved in the accident. And that's just the type of community we live in. When you have the public safety director being the first one on scene and initiating that type of care, that speaks volumes to the city and the outlook and what the city means to us.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. And you know, we hear it's the Elevate Effect. That's what we do. We have leadership in place that's not necessarily looking for the recognition, but thanks for sharing that first on the scene is not the one that's doing the delegating, but they're the one on the scene to make sure that things are getting done and getting done the right way. So thank you for mentioning that. You know, Fire Chief Reyes, you probably don't know this, and I would imagine that both of you probably do, because in the community, whenever you go to someone's address or, you know, you meet someone on the street, you always have an impact with whoever you connect with. But with me personally, I first became mayor, and there was a situation that have happened in the southern part of our state, which caused for a more of a mini conference. It was hosted here in our neighboring city, and I just became mayor. You know, you came up and introduced yourself. I think you have somewhat of a leadership role to be able to have the statewide, conference. Do you recall what I'm speaking about? Can you kind of talk about that? And I think it's key that our audience knows that there are some practice routines that we do go on in order for us to be able to do our jobs correctly. But in this one, it was kind of a rare training, at least rare from my experience. But you kind of want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes, sir. And so the mayor is referring to a conference that at the time the emergency management operations coordinator and I put together, and it was an active shooter summit is what we called it. So we were able to gather a bunch of resources, state resources, federal resources, and local resources, and where we had a two-day discussion about active attack and integrated response. One of the situations that's presented itself, unfortunately, to our nation is that type of emergency response necessity. So between Cedar Hill Fire and Cedar Hill PD, we've actually trained on active attack integrated response many, many times, many sessions. And it's the way, it's a life-saving training. It's a way of making sure we rescue as many people as possible. It's a way of making sure that that we get in there quickly and get people out and get them transported to the hospital. But it's a ongoing joint training program that that we started in about 2018, and it continues to this day.
I'm glad to know that it's ongoing. Just to communicate to the audience, the barrier was the communications on different levels of branches. So the federal, they can communicate with each other, but when they're coming to a local jurisdictions, they may not have the same frequency on the local channels. And so this conference actually gave us an opportunity to be able to practice, you know, what happens in the real situations, and not only how do we communicate on frequencies, but also, you know, who's in command and how does that command gets communicated, delegated, et cetera, that goes on in real time.
Is that about right? That's correct. And you know, one of the things we're grateful for on the public safety side is council and city manager's initiative for the public safety radio system. Before we rolled out the radio system in 2023, before that, we were kind of built out on an island where we could communicate between the cities of Cedar Hill, DeSoto, Duncanville, and Lancaster. We had communications with each other. What was the challenge was communicating with everybody else outside of that circle. But thanks to council's initiative and the new public safety radio system and the equipment we now have and the training we now have, we're able to communicate with pretty much everybody statewide. I've actually taken some of that equipment from San Diego to Delaware, to El Paso, and I've been able to communicate with our dispatch center and our people with that radio equipment, which is pretty impressive when thinking just the year prior, we were kind of locked into Cedar Hill, DeSoto, Duncanville, Lancaster circle, and that's as far as we could communicate.
So the Cedar Hill tax dollars are at work.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, you know, and just to go back, you know, that conference, again, it was during my first term, my first year as mayor, and that's how you and I have met. I remember that day. I think you actually made me go up and do the welcome, you know, during that conference. What a welcome as a mayor coming in. But it really turned my lens on, you know, how things happen in real time in a place of leadership. And it really gave me a real time experience that, you know, my training as mayor, what do I do? You know, how do I communicate, you know, with my two chiefs whenever there's a distress situation? So thank you for that leadership and that conference. And it's good to know that it's ongoing.
Thank you, Bear.
Chief, you have anything to add to that?
Well, I was going to say, it's interesting that, you know, you met him at there, and that was the first time you met, because, you know, the first time I met Rafael was actually in an emergency management conference in Austin.
Okay.
Probably
2017-ish?
Yeah.
2016, maybe?
Maybe 10 years, close to 8-10 years ago. Okay. I was still an assistant chief with Austin and working on emergency management stuff, and he was with the state. Or were you still with El Paso?
I was with Arlington at that time.
So, but we met there, and we just happened to talk and see we had the same last name and just started calling each other Primo. Yeah. Hey, Primo. Right, which is cousin in Spanish.
Right.
And so we hit it off there, you know, became friends there, and then never contacted him again, never got in touch with him again. And then, you know, fast forward to I get the job here as the police chief. Mm. And one of the first things I did when I got here is they were doing active shooter training, integrated response with fire at the school. And I go over there to observe the training. And who do I see?
Yeah.
Right? This guy right here. Yeah.
He's like, I know that guy.
Right. Yeah.
And so it's like, man, small world, you know? And so it was really enlightening to have a familiar face and know that, man, a city like Cedar Hill is bringing in guys like this, then, you know, we're going to be okay in the future.
That's right.
Look where we are today.
All right. I love it. I really love that both of you have made it a priority to build trust within your community. Chief Reyes, Chief Rafi, how do you and your team foster that trust?
So, Mayor, you know that there's a ton of community involvement in the city of Cedar Hill. And I think the biggest way of fostering trust and building trust and getting buy-in is by being involved with the community. We value that as the Cedar Hill Fire Department, and I definitely know that the Cedar Hill Police Department values it with their their community PAC team and the program that the public safety director was able to develop and receive awards for. But I'll let him talk about that. But I think community involvement is the way of building that that bridge and making sure that we stay involved. There's a ton of city events, you know, from anything from big machines to Country Down the Hill to Scare on the Square to Holiday on the Hill. We really look forward to staying involved with those types of events, and I think they're important in putting ourselves out there and continuing to build on that trust.
I agree, and thank you for buying into the culture here in Cedar Hill, because I think it's key for us to be able to have community engagement, community involvement, especially as it connects to our public safety. Primo Uno, same question for you. How do you make sure your officers stay engaged with empathy and compassion, especially in difficult situations?
Yeah. So, you know, as far as like I talked about earlier with the compassion, I said, you know, one of the things I talked about last year when I met with the officers was recognizing the power of discretion. Because as a police officer, you have a lot of discretion in things that you choose to enforce or not to enforce, or if you want to arrest somebody or not arrest somebody. You know, there are some things that you are non-discretionary where you have to, but there are moments where you can make a decision. And the conversation I had with them is, you know, when we hire people to be police officers, they have a board and you sit there and you talk and you ask them, you know, well, why do you want to be a police officer? And, you know, 90% of the time, the response is, well, because I want to help people. But as an organization and as a profession, you know, we don't measure that. We measure how many arrests have you made? How have you reduced crime? How many traffic stops did you make? How many tickets did you write? But how do you measure how you're helping someone? And so when I was having these individual meetings with officers, I asked them, I said, well, tell me how you help somebody. And I will tell you the stories that I was told about how on a regular basis and day in and day out, these guys are helping people and going out of their way to demonstrate that care and compassion. It was just very heartwarming because the stories that they share, and they're very humble about what they do, and they don't, you know, want it on the front page or on the news story, but it's just a part of the culture of the organization and going out of their way to help people, especially when they notice that people are in times of need. Because, you know, when we respond to 911 calls, it's not because somebody's having a good day. It's because like Raphael said, they're having a bad day and they need help. And so it's our job to provide that, but also do it with care and compassion.
Yeah. And I think the general population needs to know that. And I know different leadership, you know, different cities may have different leadership, but it may always be the same. But, you know, if I'm speeding down the street, it's not because I want to speed. I probably just ain't paying attention to the speed signs on the side of the road. And then, you know, I get pulled over. So having that, you know, compassion to be able to have that discretion to say, hey, just be more attention or be more aware can go a long way, especially, you know, if I'm not a repeat offender of having a lot of speeding tickets. Right. So that's good to know that, you know, we are putting that into the minds of our, you know, public safety team, boots on the ground, you know, to be able to have that in mind. Community policing, that's something that's big here in Cedar Hill. Can you kind of tell us the background of the PACT, of our PACT officers, and what is their role to our community?
Yeah, so our PACT officers is our policing community team. And so, you know, it started out as kind of a pilot program to see how community policing would work in the city, and it was very successful. And because of the success, the city management and the council decided to take a referendum to the citizens to see if they would approve funding a crime control prevention district that would fund a full-time community policing team. And it was an overwhelming positive response, and it did get approved for a 10-year and we get 1/8 of 1 cent of every sales tax dollar. And it goes into our police and community team into a crime prevention control fund. And they get to use that money to fund our community policing team. And, you know, for an agency our size to have, you know, we have four officers, a corporal, we have a sergeant, a lieutenant, and to have a packed team that's large for a city our size is unheard of. You know, if you look at our surrounding cities, they may have one officer assigned to full-time community policing while we have five and a lieutenant, right, that are doing that. And I think because of that and our city really having the foresight to recognize the importance of community policing and having those full-time police, community policing officers, has actually paid dividends when it comes to our building trust in our community, relationship building. And, you know, as a result, you know, over the course of the last 5 years, our crime rate here has dropped drastically, over 30% in just the last 5 years, I think over 40% in the last 7 or 8. And so I think that's a direct correlation to building those relationships and that trust with our community and that team and everything that they do.
Any awards due to this PAC team?
So our PAC team has received a lot of awards. For our national night out, we had, for a city our size, we had a record highest number of registered neighborhoods that participated in national night out. And then the other thing is, you know, our community policing team, our PAC team, leads our neighborhood walk program in the city, which has also won the Innovation Award for Community Policing for the Texas Police Chiefs Association. And so our neighborhood walk program has become kind of our hallmark community engagement program, not just for the police department, but for the entire city, because everybody participates in the neighborhood walks. And when you talk about building trust in your community, you know, going door to door and knocking and listening to people, going to them and not asking them to come to us, you know, I don't think there's a better way to build trust in a community and get feedback from your community members than going to them at their home, asking them, how can we help you?
Well, I think primo uno is being modest again, because it was actually your initiative that you started about 6 years ago for us to be able to have the Neighborhood Walk Program. Just received an award here, you know, about 6 months ago. But I think it's key. I mean, you could have been a new police chief, just driving your cruisers, driving up and down the streets. You know, that could have been a way for you to get to know your community. No, you would actually get out the vehicle, you know, team up with your departments, leadership throughout the community, knock on doors and ask them a simple question. How can we better serve you? Is there any questions that you have? We have done many neighborhoods throughout our city, and we typically do about 4 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Is that about right? So thank you for your leadership on that. And, you know, for your efforts to also go unnoticed to be able to receive an award, I think that's, you know, something to be proud of, Chief. So it's a great legacy to lead. Chief Primo Dos, if you could, there's been some fire department awards as well. You want to kind of, you know, highlight maybe about the most recent one that you can think of?
So one of the things that we're extremely proud of is giving our life safety awards.
Mm-hmm.
Our life safety awards is when one of our citizens suffers a medical emergency that stops their heart, and they get transported by our personnel and taken to the hospital. When they're able to walk out of that hospital, that's a life-saving type of event. And we've had many. Just to highlight the crossing guard at Station 212 on South Clark. Our crews get a knock on the door one day, and somebody reports that the crossing guard has collapsed. And our crews rush out there, and they were able to revive her and get her to the hospital. And she walked out of the hospital, and she's now back at work. Wow. And so that's something that we've been tracking. And there's been 6 or 7 throughout the year where we have people that are our citizens that are able to walk out of the hospital because of the life-saving efforts that the crews have provided. We have our awards banquet on Saturday the 9th, and some of those life-saving events will be highlighted at that awards banquet. Okay. But it's always great to see when the crews are providing life safety measures to our citizens, and the citizens live to speak about it themselves, even at council meetings, Mayor.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Thank you for, you know, having some of those presentations to be during our council meeting. It's good for council to also see some of the work that you have done. I think their testimonies are also key, not just for the council, but also for the citizens of Cedar Hill to be able to witness. And then, the job that y'all do, I mean, I know y'all don't walk around and call yourself heroes, but I mean, to many citizens, they could pretty much say that you are so heroic in your efforts to be able to protect our community and preserve it. I know the morale is high in both departments, but still, share with us, what are the qualifications to be a firefighter?
So with Cedar Hill Fire, we run hiring processes a couple of different ways. We've hired personnel that we bring in without any type of certification. And we've also hired, on the opposite side of the spectrum, personnel that are certified as firefighter paramedic. Our preference is to bring in firefighter paramedics because we're able to put them to service immediately. We're able to put them on the trucks after we run them through a smaller orientation and run them through a field training officer program. We're able to have personnel that are firefighter paramedics functioning as full firefighters within a month and a half after hire. But the qualifications, the minimum qualification is 19 years of age.
Okay.
And so right now we're running a hiring process and we've got 14 firefighter paramedics in the queue that we're looking to bring on probably 6 or 7 by January.
Okay. All right. Good to know. And is there a qualifications to be a police officer?
Yeah. So to be a police officer, you know, you can't have a criminal record, no felonies.
Okay.
And for minor offenses, class B misdemeanors, you can, there's a 10-year period for that. You know, there's a background check that goes through, you know, any type of drug use. And then you got to take a polygraph test. You got to take a psych test, a psychology test. And you got to be at least 20 and a half years old before you start the academy, because in order to be licensed as a peace officer in the state of Texas, you have to be 21 years old.
Okay.
And you have to be a U.S. citizen. But as far as college requirements go, we only require a high school diploma. We have a really great partnership with a local university that once officers or cadets graduate the police academy, they do get 30 college credit hours towards a degree from that university.
Okay.
And so they're able to continue their education and get a degree if they choose to do so. So we want to help advance our new officers as well as our existing officers.
All right. As far as technology, is there anything that citizens may want to be aware of? Chief, I know you have crime mapping. Is that something you could kind of inform it?
Yeah, so if you go to the Cedar Hill website and go to the police department, right on the front page there, they'll see a crime mapping tool where our community members can click on that tool and it'll populate a map. You have to just choose Cedar Hill because, you know, we are in a Tri-Cities partnership with with Duncanville, DeSoto. So actually the crimes for the whole region will populate on that map. And you can set up the time frames, whether it's 1 week or 30 days or 90 days back, and it'll show you where all the crime is occurring and what types of crime they are. And you can actually put your address in and set up an alert and draw a circle. It'll alert you with any crime that occurs in 1 mile of your home. And you can get a text message or an email to let you know. That way you can stay informed. Because what we want to do is we really want to be transparent in what's occurring in our city, because we think that if our community members know what's going on, they'll be more engaged and they'll be able to, you know, share that information more if they know that we're looking for a certain type of crime or a certain type of criminal. So we really want to be transparent in what's going on in our community. You know, we're pretty active on our Facebook page with when we have a large police presence somewhere. We make sure we notify the community, you know, what's going on out there. We have a lot of public safety cameras around the city now that help us, you know, if we do have criminal activity occurring in an area, we're able to go back and look. You know, if we have a suspect vehicle, we can go back and look for that vehicle. You know, partners with the PIDs and HOAs to have those cameras in their neighborhoods. And so I think that, you know, leveraging technology as a force multiplier has really benefited us as a city as in a whole and helping to with that crime reduction effort.
Thanks.
One of the things I'd like to highlight, Mayor, is a program called Community Connect, which we're getting ready to roll out. Okay. The Community Connect program is a program where our citizens and business owners will be able to actively enter information regarding their business or their personal homes. One situation that as an example is, let's say mom lives in the back bedroom and mom is disabled. Our citizen will be able to enter that information into Community Connect, and our responding units will get that alert as they're responding. And it's a way of, again, leveraging technology and making sure that we use that technology to save lives. Community Connect will also be able to highlight businesses and information that business owners may want the fire department or the police department to get while en route to an emergency location. But we're getting ready to roll that program out, and I think it's going to be something that's going to be extremely useful for our citizen and for businesses.
I like that. I think I got one more question, or, you know, kind of a tip from you. You know, every year we should change out our batteries for fire alarms. Is there anything you want to kind of expound on that?
Sure. Anytime the time changes, that's a great time to test your smoke detectors. It's a great time to change the batteries in your smoke detectors. And it's an easy way to remember, well, the time's changing. We just fell back right now. So now's the time to check those batteries on your smoke detectors. And another service that the fire department will provide, if you need your smoke detectors checked or changed out, that's something that you can reach out to us directly on, and we'll get out to your residents and make sure that you're going to in good shape with smoke detectors.
So change your batteries twice a year. Fall back or spring up.
Correct.
You should,
yes, sir.
Get them checked. Okay. Any other tips or anything we need to know about?
You know, the one thing I would say is that, you know, one of the biggest crimes that we have is people breaking into cars. And they're looking for crimes of opportunity and what we call door checking. We get a lot of feedback from neighborhoods where there's a lot of cameras out there where it looks like teenagers are door checking, trying to see if a door's open. And then they'll find the door open and then they'll steal something in the car. We have a lot of signs out there. We do a lot of notifications about take, lock, hide. So, you know, I would just, you know, encourage people to make sure that, you know, you're locking your car, you're hiding your valuables, or taking anything valuable out of your car. And that will help prevent people from breaking into cars.
That's a good tip to know. And I guess 19 years old, a young person can apply to be within the fire department. I just want to, you know, reach out. There was a one point of time that our high school had a fire academy. Is that still going on within our Cedar Hill Independent School District?
So I believe that Cedar Hill High School still has the fire program.
Okay.
At one time, one of our employees, one of our firefighters, was heavily involved with that program through the high school. He's since stepped away, looking at a new venture, and he's been quite successful. He has a company where he provides emergency response for concert venues, and so I hated to lose him because he was heavily involved with that program at the high school. But I believe the high school is still running it.
Good, Chief Reyes. Going back to community policing, there's something that you got going on during the summertime. My son participates in it. You want to kind of talk about that?
Yeah. So every summer we have our youth summit, and that's a free summer camp for teenage kids in Cedar Hill, or that go to school in Cedar Hill. And so that really is our policing community team again out there. We have between 80 and 90 kids every year. And they get to learn about the police department. They get to learn about the court system. They get to learn about crime scene. They get to do a little, you know, paintball playing, and they really get to have a positive interaction with the officers. And it's really important for us to do that because we want to build those relationships while that youth is younger, to help build that trust where they want to come to us if they need something. And also they can look to see different parts of the police department, and maybe that's a career that they might want to get into. And so the earlier that we can get them into those programs, the better it's going to be for us. And it's been really, very successful.
You know, it really makes my heart, you know, warm and smile, because Whenever I show up, it's just very cool for us to be able to see the youth dancing with the officers, you know, playing and interacting with them, engaging with them. And just to know that they're not afraid of the badge, but they are friends to the badge. I think that's pretty cool, Chief. One little thing, I think my wife wants you to extend that program for about a month longer. So if you could do that, I'm sure most moms would appreciate that, baby. I think that's, you know, pretty much, you know, what do it for this episode. So I appreciate your time, Chief, unless you got something else you want to add.
I'd like to add something, Merritt. So the fire department also runs a teen fire academy.
Okay.
And the teen fire academy is a program where we usually try to run two over the summer. And so we bring in teens from the city of Cedar Hill, and they're able to sit with us for a week, and our community risk reduction personnel run through a disaster drill situation. They'll run them through an extrication situation where they actually get to cut up vehicles with the jaws of life. We'll end it all up after a full week of fire training, and we'll end it all up with a field day where they get to, and it's summertime, so they get to be outside and outdoors and wet each other with fire hoses. And there's certain drills that we make them run with fire hoses, but everybody usually ends up wet and having a good time. That's a program that we're really proud of. And it's run by our community risk reduction team.
Is that right?
The fire department. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I was aware of that one. That's been around for a while.
It has.
Has it really? Okay.
Yeah, and kind of to add to that, Mayor, my son has participated in that that summer camp, okay, as along with the youth summit from the police side, and he went to the,
okay,
and you know, he wants to be a firefighter.
Yeah, right.
And so, okay, you know, he's going to give, maybe in the future he'll have another Reyes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Firefighter side. Yeah. So
you're the good Reyes, yeah, now.
I'm the, yeah, good Reyes. And,
he's just 15, so he's still got some growing up to do.
Oh, okay.
But you know, he really enjoyed that camp so much. It put that career path in, wow, on his, that wasn't there before. Wow. And so it's just another opportunity for the youth in our community to learn about what we have in Cedar Hill, and maybe just options other than college, because the college isn't for everyone.
Wow. Wow. That's good to know. So to our youth and scholars, if you don't have anything to do this summer, I can think of at least about 2-3 weeks of the worth of activities here in Cedar Hill. Well, Chiefs, thank you both for joining me today. It is clear that while your roles differ, you share a strong commitment to keep Cedar Hill safe and connected. To our listeners, I hope today's conversation gave you a deep appreciation for the compassion that drives public safety here in Cedar Hill. Today, I want to put a spotlight on Cedar Hill's Senior Meal Program. We offer this program for the last 5 years, providing free and nutritious lunches for our seniors age 60 and older. Lunch is served at 11:45 a.m. Monday through Friday at the Cedar Hill Senior Center. It is a great way for seniors to enjoy a meal and connect with others in the community. Remember, advanced registration is recommended. To find more information and register, visit the link in the show description. I am excited to share that we have recently begun the Downtown Streets Phase 2 project, which is a vital part of our Complete Streets program adopted by the City Council in 2020. This initiative will enhance our historic downtown area with wider sidewalk, streetscapes, and a new downtown park with inviting spaces for everyone to enjoy. This iconic area of Cedar Hill is being reestablished as an energetic place to live, work, play, pray, and do business. This is one of my favorite opportunities for being able to connect with you. Thank you for submitting your questions. The first question is from Kara. Tell us about your business you own. What is it and what do you do? Thank you for asking that question. I am in the engineering industry. Essentially, what we do is we are the eyes for the owner. It's our job to ensure that the materials that are delivered on site are being built and equipped by the design. So we've been in business for 30 years. I am excited about the milestone that we have achieved, and look forward to future success. Also, I am also second generation. If you enjoyed this episode, do not forget to give a thumbs up. And thank you for tuning in to the Elevate Effect, where we are raising the bar on community connections and innovations here in Cedar Hill. See you next time for more inspiring conversations and city happenings. Remember, the art is not in making money, but in keeping it. Save and invest wisely, create generational wealth. Thank you. See you next time.